So we are learning the first sicha in Parshas Vayikra, the Kote Sichas Chelek Yud Beis. The Rebbe addresses here Rashi on the second pasuk of the Parsha, where Rashi states that the subject matter here dealing with the laws of Korbanos deals with Korbanos Nedava, which means free will offerings, voluntary Korbanos, as opposed to obligatory Korbanos like sin offerings and the like. And the point of this sikh is to explain why Rashi explains it this way and various nuances in Rashi, because, let's point this out at the outset, logic dictates that the first subject matter should be not free will or voluntary Korbanos, but obligatory Korbanos. First we should deal with obligatory Korbanos, and then with Korbanos Nedava. But as we will see from the Psukim, Rashi derives that it cannot be, and the Pasuk is speaking here, all subject matter here is speaking about Korbanos Nedava. Now, just to point out, this sicha doesn't explain why that is so. Just that it's muchrech from the psukim, parshas aksuvim themselves. Elsewhere in the Kote Sichas, the Rebbe explains why the Torah begins with Korbanos Nedava, because a free will offering is obviously a korban that the person brings because of his own desire, not compelled. And that is the essence of all korbanos. The essence of the korban is not so much the physical behemoth, but the intent and the desire and the goodwill and the desire for atonement, or the desire for a gift offering, a peace offering, or thank offering, or a thanksgiving offering, or an offering in connection with the Yom Tov. The essence of the korban is one's heart. And therefore, the Torah begins the subject of korbanos not with the obligatory korbanos, but korbanos nedava. But again, that's not the subject of the sicha. This is a Rashi sicha. And here the subject matter is, how do we know, in fact, that the Torah speaks of this kind of korban? Let's look at the pasuk and look at Rashi's commentary, and then the Rebbe's analysis. The pasuk says, after saying that Hashem called to Moshe and spoke to him from the Ohel Moed, so the second pasuk says, Hashem tells Moshe, Dabra b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Yidin v'amarat aleim, and you shall say to them, Adam, a person, ki yakrev, when he will bring, mikem, from you, korban, a korban l'Hashem. Then it goes on to say, from the cattle and from the flocks, you shall bring your korban. So Rashi brings down the words, Adam, ki yakrev, mikem. Now, Rashi is addressing the words, essentially, in his commentary now, ki yakrev. Rashi told us earlier already that the word ki has four meanings. And they are, this is Rashi, Parshas Vayera, Yudches, Pasuk Tesvav, that the word ki has four meanings. It means if, Dilma perhaps, Ella rather, Daha because. Now Rashi is explaining here that the Pasuk means if or when, meaning to say it's not obligatory. So right here in these words, ki yakriv, we are being told that the pasuk speaks about these free will offerings. Now, notwithstanding that ki has three other meanings, and it could also mean because, in other words, it's obligatory. But the list that Rashi lists the four meanings, as we just heard, if is the first one. So, mshutisho mikra, that is the optional one, and that's the way we need to understand the pasuk at the pshat level, that ki means not an obligation, but ki when he does, he has a choice to or not to. And therefore, it's korbanos nedava. As Rashi goes on to say, let's read the words inside, kishi yakriv, when he will bring, It's optional. And then, comma, bekarbonis nedova dibra inyan. The pasuk is speaking about voluntary karbonis. The basic question now here is, Rashi is explaining only the words ki yakriv. Why then does he bring down the whole quote, Adam, the word preceding the words ki yakriv, and the words mikem, from you? He's just out to explain the words ki yakriv, that it means voluntary, as we just explained, and there's no reason why would he bring the words Adam and mikem. So obviously, by bringing the words Adam and mikem, Rashi is forestalling a question that the reader might have. And that is, given that logic dictates, as we said at the outset, logic dictates that the first subject, the first kind of korban that the Torah would deal with, we'd expect at the pshat level, would be obligatory korbanos. Therefore, notwithstanding that the Torah uses the word ki, which makes it optional, nonetheless, I would still learn pshat that we are speaking about obligatory korbanos. How is it possible to reconcile that the Torah speaks here of obligatory korbanos, korbanos chayva, and yet uses the word ki? So there's two possibilities one would come up with. Two possibilities. One is a case where, and again, this is not straightforward in the pasuk, but I would want to learn this way in order to respect the basic assumption that this ought to be the first subject, namely korbanos chayva. And hence, I would find two situations where it can speak both of obligatory korbanos and yet it's voluntary. How so? Number one, a case where a person committed a sin as a katan, as a minor. So as a minor, he's not chayiv. Even a minor who killed is not put to death. The Torah is saying that when he becomes an adult, if he and he did a sin, that would obligate him to bring a korban chatas, whatever the sin happens to be, depending on the nature of the transgression. So he did it as a child. So he's not obligated to bring the korban then or ever. The Torah is telling us here that if he wants to attain atonement, key therefore, when he will approach and desire to bring this korban, then he can bring the korban. The Torah is teaching us that a minor, a katan, can attain atonement as an adult. And that would justify the act was an act that is that mandates, obligates a korban. But in this case, it's voluntary because he was a minor. Maybe that's what the Torah is saying. And I would learn pshat that way just to respect again the fact that surely the Torah speaks about a korban that is in essence an obligatory korban, a korban chayva, not a korban nedava. Or another possibility why the Torah would speak about obligatory korbanos and yet use the word ki. Because the Torah is also coming to include a non-Jew. That a non-Jew, although not obligated, when he brings a korban, it's obviously what? A voluntary korban. So the Torah is coming to include, by the saying the word ki, also the admissibility of korban is brought by a non-Jew, not obligatory, but free will. Now, in order to negate the possibility of learning pshat in the pasuk like that, that's why Rashi brings down from the pasuk the words Adam and the word Mikem. The word Adam is an all-encompassing term, and it means not just an adult, but even a minor. It's only the word Ish that would exclude a minor. So if the Torah meant to tell us that, it should have certainly have said Ish ki yakriv, which would underscore the fact that he was a minor when he did the sin, but now he's an Ish, an adult, and he can bring the korban. A korban which is in essence an obligatory one, had he done it as an adult. But the Torah doesn't say the word Ish. The Torah says the word Adam. So the Torah is addressing not specifically an adult, but every possible age, even a katan. And therefore, that refutes the possibility of learning pshat that we're speaking about a minor who becomes an adult. As for the possibility that the Torah uses the word ki, because it wishes to include even non-Jews, who may bring a free will offering. Rashi brings the word mikem. Mikem means from you. We're talking only about the Jewish people. Conclusion, therefore, that's why Rashi brings down these words in his Dibur HaMaschil. The conclusion is that the Torah is speaking about the narrow case, and we have no choice but to understand it this way, of a free will offering. And as we explained earlier, Alpi Chassidus, and the reason why the Torah would begin with this subject. But this is deduced from the Pasuk itself, from the words, Adam ki yakriv mikem, precluding the possibilities, the suggestions we just offered moments ago. Let's look now at the next commentary of Rashi, which is, of course, a continuation of this one. Rashi brings down the word Adam. And Rashi says, Loma Nema, why does it say the word Adam? Rashi answers, Ma Adam Odishan, he could have been a gezel, just like to teach us a new law. Just like Adam Odishan did not bring a korban from that which was theft. Why? Shakir lo yeshaloi, everything was his, the whole world belonged to him. You too should not bring a korban from an animal that you stole. Just by the way, why would anybody want to do such a thing? You're bringing a korban to God in the Beis HaMikdash. Why would anybody in his right mind think that he could do so, stealing it from another Jew? And perhaps the answer is because the person may justify it by saying, I'm actually doing him a great service. I'm taking an animal of his, and I'm bringing it as a korban, an offering to God. The Torah says no. And this accords with the explanation we gave at the outset here. And that is, the whole point of the korban is you offer yourself, your desire, your will. You must be the sacrifice. No one can make somebody else a korban. Devotion, sacrifice, mesiras nefesh, is something that must come from the self and not imposed on somebody else. That was just a parenthetic comment, a possible explanation. At any rate, let's go back to the Rashi again. So Rashi asks, why did it say the word Adam? And answers that just like Adam didn't bring a korban from that which is stolen, because everything was his, so too you should not bring a korban from theft. First question is, it's strange that Rashi explains the word Adam as a second commentary on the Pasuk. First he explained Adam ki yakriv mikam, and now he explains Adam. Would have expected the reverse. First explain the meaning of the word Adam, and then the rest of the words Adam ki yakriv mikam. Furthermore, what's the question altogether? Adam loma ne'ema, why does it say the word Adam? This is the regular, normal expression found in Chumash, throughout Chumash. Nothing untoward whatsoever. The explanation is, here we cannot explain the word Adam or explain its presence here in the regular sense, and because that's where the Pasuk speaks, because it's redundant completely. Because it says the word Mikem, Adam Kyakrev Mikem. Now the word Mikem, from you explained, comes to exclude non-Jews. From which we learn that we're speaking here about what? About Karbonis Nedava, as we just explained before. So therefore, the word Adam now becomes superfluous. Adam Loma Nemar. Now, even though we said before that from the word Adam we learn that it's speaking about, it helped us understand that it's speaking about Karbonis Nedava, because it includes even an adult, as we explained earlier. However, so we need the word Adam, but that teaching that we're speaking even, I'm sorry, not just an adult, we're speaking about a minor, not exclusively a minor that became an adult. That teaching is derived from the fact that it didn't say the word Ish. But we do not learn that from the fact that it says the word Adam. It's the absence of the word Ish that teaches us we're not just speaking about exclusively an adult. So therefore, the question is, why does it say the word Adam? Now, just to point out over here, the answer of the Mefarshim, which the Rebbe rejects, so I'm going to share this with you, our listener, and that is as follows. So some of the Mefarshim explain that this is brought down also in the Sifsei Chachamim. We're answering now the questions that answering the question of why Rashi is asking why does it say the word Adam, and also going to answer why he gave his explanations in not following the order of the pasuk itself. So they say like this. Rashi first had to establish that we're speaking about Karbonis, the Dover, about free will offerings. Because if he doesn't establish that, I would explain that we're talking about obligatory offerings. And that's why it says Adam, because Adam refers only to Eden. Adam, Atem Kurim Adam. And non-Jews are not called Adam. But now that the commentary is explained, but now that Rashi has established that Ki Yakrev means we're talking about Karbonis Nedova, which even non-Jews can bring, as the Gemara tells us. So therefore now comes the question, why does it say Adam, which would exclude a non-Jew, when a non-Jew in fact can bring a free will offering? So that's the explanation that the commentaries want to explain in the order of Rashi, and also explaining the problem of why it says the word Adam. But this cannot be said, the Rebbe rejects this, this cannot be said as Rashi's intent. Because this whole idea that Adam refers only to a Jew is not justified in Pshut Yishlom Mikra. On the contrary, the word Adam is a more generic term, and we find it already in Torah itself, the word Adam referring to non-Jews, starting with the first Adam. And Rashi doesn't even bring this anywhere in Chumash, Adam referring exclusively to the Jewish people. And moreover, how would we know at the simple level of the Pesukim here in our Parsha, how do we even know that a non-Jew can bring free will offerings? That's actually a special limud, but how would we know that now? And moreover, if that is what Rashi intended, Rashi shouldn't say, why does it say the word Adam, which implies it's superfluous, but rather it shouldn't say the word Adam. Because the question would be, according to the Sifsei Chachamim, Adam means only a Jew, and we're talking about free will offerings that include a non-Jew. So it's not why use the word Adam, it's how could you use the word Adam? Lama means it's superfluous. But our answer that we gave before answers these questions. And again, because what Rashi is saying is that the reason why the word Adam is superfluous is because the word Mikem is stated in the Pasuk. And the word Mikem, we must say perforce, from you, comes to exclude non-Jews. That's at the very Pshat level. And therefore, we're speaking here about free will offerings. Right, this is the explanation we said at the outset. Again, the word Adam tells us that it's speaking about not differentiating between a person who was minor and became an adult, but even an adult. And the word Mikem is coming to teach us that we're talking here about non-Jews. So now the question is, we don't need the word Adam altogether. It's superfluous. And therefore, Rashi is compelled to give us an explanation. Now, what's the explanation that Rashi gives us? The explanation is that Adam Arishon Hikrev Min HaGezel Shakir Lo Yishalo. He didn't bring from that which was stolen, because all was his. What's interesting is that this appears in two places, in Medrash Rabba and in Tanchuma, but there's a slight difference. Medrash Rabba says the words Shakir Lo Yishalo. Everything was it belonged to him, but the Tanchuma says something else, because he was the only one in the world. Now that's a very big difference. According to the Medrash Rabba, he didn't steal because there's nobody to steal one. According to the Tanchuma, He didn't steal only because he was the only person and there was no one to steal from. But when other people would appear, which they did very soon after, on the very same day that he was born, in fact, then he could, in theory, steal. So it's only for a very, very short time that he was Yechidi, he was alone and there was no one to steal from. Whereas the Bereshis Rabbah, HaKol Hayo B'Shusa, everything belonged to him, implies that it's not a question of he didn't actually steal for the short amount of time because there's no one to steal from. But Rad is not even a possibility of stealing because the whole world belongs to him. Now we see from Rashi that Rashi opts for the Lashon the Medrash Rabbah. And why is that? Because according to the Tanchuma is saying he brought a korban. And the korban he brought was kosher because he was the only person in the world. But we don't find that Adam Rishon brought a korban. We don't find he brought a korban altogether. So for Rashi, it's more that there's not the possibility of stealing since the whole world belongs to him. And even if we're going to say, mind you, that at the Peshat level, he did bring a korban, even though it was such a short window for him to have done so. And we might even infer that from the fact that Cain and Hevel brought korbanos, and it's safe to assume that they learned that from their father. But even if he did bring a korban, what kind of korban would it have been? It would have been the korban for atonement, for the Chet Hatzedas. And already then, he wasn't alone. There already were others. So it's at the Peshat level, it's very untenable that Adam Rishon brought a korban for that hour or so that he was the only person, or less perhaps, in the world. So therefore, Rashi opts for the Medrash Rabbah, which says he didn't bring from theft because it wasn't possible, because everything was his. Why is that? Because as soon as he was created, the whole world belonged to him. Now the question is, how does the whole world belong to him? One must make a kinyan in order to acquire something. The answer is that in a case where there's nobody around, nobody could possibly acquire that object, no kinyan is required by the person who is in its presence, if there's no possibility of anybody else acquiring it. And so naturally the whole world, by his mere presence, becomes his. Like a king who conquers an entire country without having to make a kinyan on every particular object. This also, interesting in halacha, there's a discussion about the law of hefker. When something is hefker, declared ownerless, what does it mean? Does it mean it belongs to everybody? Or belongs to nobody? So if you say belongs to everybody, so in our case where there isn't anybody else, therefore there's no need to make the kinyan to acquire this object to acquire the world, because there's no one else that exists that could possibly acquire it for themselves. Now this idea, again, so this is like a king that conquers everything that is under in his kingdom belongs to him. And we find this also in Pshut Yishol Mikra, that the Yidden were allowed to conquer Moav, even though the Torah says that we should not oppress them. They conquered Cheshbon. The Yidden conquered it's a pasuk. Bamidbar chaf aleph chaf vav. The Torah says not Altotres Moav, and Cheshbon was one of their cities, and yet the Jews conquered it. That's because Sichon had conquered Cheshbon, and the Jews conquered Sichon. So we see that by Sichon conquering Cheshbon, he acquired it, completely removed it from the previous ownership. So likewise, Adam Arishon acquired the whole world, and especially we can take into account, as Rashi tells us, that he had, literally is the word used by Rashi, conquered, and they were all nichbashur, they're all surrendered, all the creatures of the world were surrendered under Adam Arishon's rule and control. Now even though and of course his own children and so on. There are other people that also owned possessions. How can we say even then, enduringly, that everything belongs to Adam HaRishon? So the answer is, they're like his children. Children that are smuchim al shulchan avim, the children that sit by the father's table, that the father allows them. And even if we say he gave it to them as an outright gift, it's understood that if he gave it as a gift, he's not going to take it by force or steal it from them. So we can still learn that he didn't take theft. And furthermore, we might also suggest, like the melech, and the king owns all of the entire land, but that doesn't preclude some kind of personal private ownership as well. At any rate, so the conclusion of all of this is that the Torah is speaking about a free will offering. Rashi made us understand how it's not possible to learn, even in a forced way. The Torah is speaking about Karbonos Nedava. Rashi explained, therefore, after all of that, why the word Adam is mentioned is entirely superfluous to be explained, and the reason that we just offered.